World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning today. A lot of different directions I can go today, for sure. I've become more and more convinced of this. Spencer, throw this up. Which one would it be? Which one is it? Pull up number fraud in the states. I'm going to start off right here. I'm going to try to take it somewhere today. It says fraud in the states. Do you have that, Spence? Did I send it to you? Maybe I didn't send it to you. No, I didn't, man. I didn't. Hang on. We'll shoot it to you right now. Wait a minute. I hate computers. I hate how I messed up here. Let me do this. I want to forward this to Spencer. We'll take you somewhere today. Hang on over with me, folks. I've had the monster cold for sure. I thank Dr. Paul, like our resident doctor, who got me on the straight line again yesterday. Man, I've lost about 30 pounds in mucus, I think. Not trying to gross anybody out. Spence, when you get that, throw that up on the screen. Because here's what, I don't know what we're going to, again, I'm going somewhere. Be with me today, okay? Look at this, folks. Look at this. This is how much money. The dollar is, folks, the dollar is just, it's just a way to control us. The dollar has absolutely no value to it at all. It really doesn't. California's NGOs, $593.4 billion. Non-government organizations, $593 billion. Billion dollars. New York, $445 billion to non-government organizations. And the money comes back to the congressman, whoever comes back to. Minnesota, $124.2 billion a year. Your tax, my tax dollars. Money means nothing. When are we going to understand it? It means nothing. They just print it. They just print it. New Jersey, $113 billion per year. Washington, $139.5 billion per year. How are we going to fix it? I don't know. We'll dive into that a little bit here today. Spencer, go to KITCO real quickly. KITCO. Just for those of you who think we've been crazy for however long we've been crazy here. Folks, look at this over here. Silver is what today, Spence? I always click on go up the top, Spencer. It says all metal quotes. All metal quotes at the very top. Yep, there you are. It shows you gold. Gold is at almost $4,600 for gold. Unbelievable. Silver is at $85. What's going on, man? What the heck is going on? And at what point are they going to pull the plug on all this? Because they sure as heck. Anyway, I don't want to get you bogged down on that. Still not too late to buy silver, in my opinion. Still not too late. Estimates are it's going to go. Well, what should it be? What should be silver? I can't even tell you. Cool. All right. Where am I? Come on, Coach. Get going. Okay. Here's what I want to talk to us about today. Here in Ohio and some other states, Dale's already said it's happening down in Louisiana. Click on number one. They've reintroduced. Spitz, if you could click on number one there for me, buddy. Ten Commandment laws. The Ten Commandment, this is in, Ten Commandment display became law in Texas. The displaying of the Ten Commandments became law. Dale said they're doing the exact same thing in Louisiana. required the state's 9,000 public schools, I'm going someplace, stay with me, to post the Ten Commandments in the classroom. Ten Commandments in the classroom. Wow. Because, see, the greatest lie that they've perpetrated on all of us is the lie of the separation between the church and state. And I want to give you a little bit of a history lesson here today and let you know why this is a battle worth fighting for. Folks, by what standard do we as Americans, what is common values that we all share? What is it? See, when there is no standard, the standard becomes whatever you want it to be, right? Whatever you want to be. And so what's happening up in Minnesota and where all of the riots and all that stuff's going on, it's a distraction from some other stuff. I told you it's a color revolution that's going on. They're trying to distract you away from what's really, really going on. And what's really going on is the expose of the thievery that's been going on from the government. That's what they're trying to distract you, trying to make you think it's all about ICE and these ICE soldiers, these ICE agents in there. And they're going around shooting and killing people. They're not doing that. They're not going around shooting and killing people. Are they arresting people? Well, I hope they are. They're lawbreakers. But don't get distracted because they want to take your eyes off of the graft of your elected officials. They don't want you to see where all this money's been gone. They want you now to focus on ICE. ICE shouldn't be in Minnesota. ICE shouldn't be here. Ah, what are they doing here? Get rid of them. They're not alone. And it's all a distraction. It's all a distraction. So I want to make sure that, folks, look, I'm going to tell you this. Some of the people that you run in contact with every day have no idea what the hell's going on. They got no idea. No idea. So just understand that. Even when you go to church, probably the people you go to church with ain't got no clue. No clue what's going on. Okay, so I want to show you something. How many of you knew this, that the lie of the separation between the church and state, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson, because we have to restore. Can two walk together lest they agree? How do we determine in America today what is right and what is wrong? Is there a standard? See, they gave us what they called moral relativism. It went in our classrooms during the 80s and 90s. It really got in there. Moral relativism, meaning what? Well, yeah, that's moral, but yeah, that's immoral, but meaning the situation. They taught us in schools what they called situational ethics, meaning it's okay to lie under certain situations. It's okay to steal under certain situations. Are you with me? Because they came in with what they called this moral relativism, most of our society now doesn't recognize right from wrong. There is no standard of right and wrong. How'd that happen? Well, it happened very, very simply. Pull up number two. Stone versus Graham. A little history lesson here. 1980. How many of you were alive in 1980? I'm not going to take you through all of this. I'm just giving you an overview. In 1980, Stone versus Graham, the Supreme Court of the United States, declared the posting of the Ten Commandments a violation of the separation between the church and state. Now, folks, the Ten Commandments were what they called the moral law. The moral law. It didn't matter whether you're a Muslim. Didn't, hey Spencer, see, dig up real quick the Ten Commandments. Find a copy of the Ten Commandments. Didn't matter whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Buddhist, whether you were an atheist. Didn't matter. Everybody followed the same set of rules. What were the same set of rules? I'm the Lord your God, shall know the gods before me. Hang on. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day, honor your father and mother. Okay, now look, folks, those first four commandments have to do with your relationship with God, okay? Lord's name in vain, no other gods, remember the holy day. And then it gets into your relationship with your fellow man. Honor your father and mother. Folks, would that be a value that we would want to teach to everybody? Honor your parents. Number two, don't commit adultery. I wonder how many people have been screwing around literally since they took the Ten Commandments off the law. Three, don't steal. Hey, Paul, should we teach a Muslim not to steal? I think we ought to teach Muslims not to steal. I think that's a universal value. Does anybody agree at that? That'd be a universal value. I don't care what religion you are, you can't steal. You can't steal. Can't commit adultery. Now that's going out the window. Huh? That is going out the window. If it feels good, do it. Folks, this happened in your lifetime, in my lifetime. Timothy Leary said, tune in, turn on, drop out, right? The hippie revolution, right? We never recovered from it. Shall not steal, shall not. See, but number 8 doesn't say thou shall not lie. It says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Why? Because sometimes this is going to make some of you nervous. Sometimes lying is required. God's laws are protective. If my wife and I are getting ready to go out the door to a banquet or something, and she comes out and I don't like what she's got on. She says, honey, how do I look? And we're on our way. And I don't want to be late. I'm probably going to say, oh, honey, you look okay. Because God's laws are protective. You don't bear false witness against your neighbor. If I love my wife, I'm going to say, honey, I don't care if we're late. You ought to go change. That doesn't look good. You with me? Tracking with me, folks? Bearing false witness against your neighbor. It doesn't say thou shalt not lie. It's protecting one another. You shall not covet. You shall not covet. Spencer, go back to that other one, bro. He's there, yeah. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not covet your neighbor's goods. Now, friends, would those be universal values that we ought to teach to every child in America's public schools? Is that religion? Did you know that, I'm giving you a little history lesson here, okay? Pull up number 2. Did you know that in Stone versus Graham, I'm not going to bore you with all this. I'm just trying to educate you. Did you know that Stone versus Graham, the Supreme Court said, this is 1980. Now, how long had we been a nation following the Ten Commandments, the 13 original, I'm going to get into some of that here in a second. But the Supreme Court ruled that the posting of the Ten Commandments basically might brainwash people. It might brainwash children to follow them. They actually said that in the decision. Posting of the Ten Commandments might make people follow them. Crazy, huh? Crazy. So here we are, 1980. They started taking the Ten Commandments off of the wall. And can I tell you something, Gino? Most Christians today can't even repeat them. We can't even repeat them. And so if there is no morality, if there is no sense, no common sense of morality, then how do we survive as a nation? They say, Coach, they're up there in Minnesota and they're just snatching those people off the street. Well, they're snatching them off the street because they're thieves. So what do you mean they're thieves? Yes, they broke into our country. And as you can see, they're getting millions and millions of dollars of our money. And it says, thou shall not steal. Pretty simple, isn't it? Thou shall not bear false witness. But see, since we don't have this common, it's called liberalism. Since we don't have this common sense of values anymore, there's no common sense. Right and wrong. Okay, I'm taking you someplace. Bear with me a second, okay? Pull up number 4. Pull up number 4. You guys ever heard of what they call organic law? Organic law. Where did law come from? Organic means original. Growing from something that is organic is growing from something. And when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they pulled up there for me, number 3. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Pull up number 3. When the pilgrims pulled in Plymouth Rock, look at this. In the name of God, amen. This is the Mayflower Compact. Compact being deal. Deal. Original intent, right? In the name of God, amen, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, defender of the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. So anybody tells you that America wasn't founded as a Christian nation is lying to you, folks. Lying to you. Now, here's the great thing about America. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. You don't have to be a Christian. But if you're going to come here, you're going to live by Christian values, those Ten Commandments. You're going to live by those Ten Commandments. And if we don't teach all of the children the same Ten Commandments, Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? How can we live in a culture and a society where we don't have a common set of values? And that's what happened in 1980, Stone versus Graham, when they undermined morality in America. The Supreme Court ruled, despite 200 years of history, that the posting of the Ten Commandments was all of a sudden against the law. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. So go back to the Mayflower Compact. We saw that, right? Mayflower Compact. I'm sorry, I have an undertaking for the glory of God, the advancement of the Christian faith, right? Pull up number four then. What's organic law? Organic law is a law or system of laws that from the foundation of a government, corporation, or any other organization's body of rules, a constitution is a particular form of organic law. No judge has the ability to sit on the Supreme Court and determine organic law is no longer valid. They don't have the ability to do it, folks. We let them get away with it. And today we're living under the tyranny that the lawlessness has provided for us. That's why we see, it's unbelievable. We see people in Minnesota in particular defending the right of people to break the law. It's amazing. Confusion. Hang on. So let me help you out here real quickly, just so I'm giving some of you a little bit of a background. Pull up 13 religion. Pull up 13 religions. Did you guys know this? I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Thanks, Spencer. The religion of the original 13 colonies. Scroll down, Spencer. Did you know that the 13 original colonies were set up by denominations? When they said that there was a separation between the church and state, what they meant was the Baptist church wasn't going to be a church of England, wasn't going to be a church of America. It was about free exercise of your faith. Hey, folks, not free exercise of atheism. Sorry. An atheist can't disobey the law just because he didn't believe in it, right? So Massachusetts were Puritans. Connecticut had Puritan roots. I'm sorry, but they were congregational. New Hampshire, largely Puritan. Folks, these were formed as church settings. Rhode Island was a great exception to England, founded by Roger Williams, and they were Baptists. And so when they came together, I'm sorry, New York was Dutch, Dutch Reformed. New Jersey, they settled the 13 original colonies by denominations. New Jersey had no official church. Wow. Pennsylvania, we know what they were. Quakers meeting has begun. No more laughing, no more fun, no more chewing gum. Pennsylvania were Quakers. Delaware, what were they? Anglican. Presbyterian, Quaker. Maryland was a Catholic, first Catholic state. Virginia was the Church of England, Baptist, Presbyterians. North Carolina, the Church of England was established, and they had small groups of Baptists and Presbyterians and Quakers. They came here for Christian liberty, friends. The Church of England was the official church in South Carolina, supported by taxes. But other Protestant groups such as the Huguenots, Presbyterians, and Baptists were tolerated. That's why they said there was a separation between the church and state, that this was never going to be a Baptist country, Lutheran country, Catholic country, but it was a Christian country. The youngest colony, Georgia, also recognized the Church of England, but its population was religiously mixed. Anglicans, Lutherans, and other Protestant groups lived side by side. How many of you are going to say, I never knew that. So when the founding father, I'm sorry, when the Supreme Court in 1980 said that there was a separation between the church and state, this was the original intent. Not that Christianity wasn't the official religion of America, but denominations were going to be protected. You could have free. If we don't have Christianity, friends, there's no rights of the individual. There's no right, right? There's no, if we don't have a common set of values, there's no right and there's no wrong. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm hacking on you. Didn't mean to do that. Okay. Let me see. One more thing I'll show you. I want to show you that. Pull off the Articles of Confederation, which, by the way, the Articles of Confederation came after the Mayflower Compact. The Articles of Confederation served from March 1st, 1781 till 1789. It transitioned from the Mayflower Compact, the Articles of Confederation, to the U.S. Constitution. And religion was at the heart of the Articles of Confederation. Freedom of religion. Folks, listen. First Amendment. Spencer, see if you can find that real quick. Am I boring you out there? This is so important that we understand this. If we don't understand this, we're never going to be able to advance it again. First Amendment, Spencer, what's it say? Congress shall make no law. Why did they say the courts shall make no law? Courts don't make law. Courts interpret law. If Congress can't make a law, the courts can't make a law. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. No law. By the way, Don Davidson, you got no right to take your tax dollars. I'm sorry, folks. Sorry. See, I want my tax dollars to go to righteous causes, to my church. Oh, folks, this is all, they've done all of this to us by rewriting the Constitution. Okay, one more thing. Let me see. I did that. Okay, I'm heading somewhere. Pull up for me if you can. This is a great video. Number 7. Put it at 1.75 speed. Hey, friends, we're on the verge of civil war. We're on the verge of it. Because there's an element in America that's doing everything it can to make it happen. This is a long video. It's it's about 12 minutes, but it's worth it. Go ahead, play it. 1.7.
No matter how much smarter you are than me, I will still always have one thing over you, and that's treachery, right? That's the one thing that old people excel at, is treachery.
In the United States federal law, sedition primarily refers to seditious conspiracy under 18 U.S. Code 2384. This occurs when two or more persons conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States.
We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops.
Because you work at the federal government, that you somehow have absolute immunity from committing crimes? That's not true in any law school in America, whether it's Yale or Villanova or anywhere else. That's not true.
Show freeze up it, and freeze use it. Your voice. Put your body on the line.
Hey, folks. Breaking into the country isn't legal in any law school in America. Go ahead.
Our Constitution, written by our founders, is intended to protect us against a threat identical to Donald Trump, someone who seeks power at all costs to get more power.
If any of you commit a crime, you will not be able to hide. Nobody will whisk you off. You don't want this smoke, because we will bring it to you. And the fake, whatever they call them, because I can't say the name, but the criminal in the White House would not be able to keep you from going to jail.
I know people are out marching and all today, and we need to speak up. We need to be out there and shut this rogue government down, because it's just awful what they're doing to people.
There's what's called the 3.5% rule, which is that if you look at authoritarian regimes of various kinds all over the world over the last like century, once you have 3.5% of a population protesting nonviolently against a dictator or an authoritarian, that is essentially an unstoppable force that they can't oppose, and that precludes them from consolidating dictatorial power.
3.5%.
3.5%. It's not that much larger a number than what we're already seeing in the streets against Trump.
Levy war against the United States.
And it's clear. Look, I don't know.
Freeze it. What have 5% of Christians got in the streets? Go ahead.
Against the United States.
And it's clear. Look, I don't know. I don't think any governor in history has had to fight a war against the federal government every single day.
Well, I said this yesterday. We've never been at war with our federal government.
Opposed by force, the authority of the United States.
Minnesota will not allow our community to be used as a prop in a national political fight. We will not take the bait.
Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country, in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities?
prevent, hinder, or delay by force the execution of any U.S. law, or seize or possess by force any property of the United States contrary to its authority.
I'm far enough away. I'm not influencing anything.
Do you live on the street?
I don't. No.
Okay, I need you to get near.
No, I won't.
Ma'am, I need you to leave.
It's my right to be here.
To
I will not.
You're too close right now. You're interfering.
I'm right here. You're going to get out of my face. I'm a public citizen. No, I won't. Tell me why I'm far enough away from your investigation.
Step beyond our court.
Don't touch me, please.
Let me say to this to the federal agencies and ICE, this organ, we do not need you. You're not welcome. And you need to get the hell out of our community.
I don't know where people got the notion that if you disagree with our immigration laws, it is okay to oppose federal law enforcement. It is not okay. It is illegal. And if you use your car to ram a police officer or a federal agent, they're going to use deadly force. So people need to know this is not a game.
The definition of treason is explicitly defined in the U.S. Constitution, Article 3, Section 3, and codified in 18 U.S. Code 2381, consisting of levying war against the United States or adhering to the enemies of the United States, giving them aid and comfort.
No matter what you do to me, you can arrest me or not. I am going to document your illegal actions. Because if there is no accountability today, there will be accountability tomorrow.
Dude, I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I'm going to war. I'm putting down the Crawler Donut and the Dunkin' Donuts beverage, and I'm going to war. Mark my words, Hegseth. I'm coming for you.
Shame, shame.
Do you have a job?
Shame, shame. I'm getting paid right now. Shame.
And East 35th, but it goes at least two or three blocks.
Hey, who do you work
thank
for?
You. Hold on. I'm sorry. We're with CNN. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you for your help. I'm sorry. I think people are getting upset.
Punishment includes death. The definition of rebellion is defined in 18 U.S. Code 2383 as an act where a person incites, sets on foot, assists, or engages in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or its laws.
Whatever the status of your immigration paperwork, this is your city. We can agree that what is happening every day in our immigration and enforcement system should not be happening, and it is unacceptable.
The terms rebellion and insurrection are used interchangeably in the statute.
It is time to fight. It is civil war time. You guys need to wake the up, stop being little bitches, and start fighting the back. It is time to fight.
The legal definition of domestic terrorism in the United States, according to federal statute 18 U.S. Code 2331, defines domestic terrorism as activities that meet all three of the following: acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal laws of the United States or of any state, appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation, to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping.
And just real quickly, there are folks that are going to hear you say things like state-sponsored terrorism. You put out as a statement, literally, stop with us, was your words. These are goons. And they'll say that is raising the temperature and actually put some of this law enforcement officers in greater danger. What do you say to that?
I said what I said.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it. I don't care if I don't have a Minnesota carry permit. I'm unarmed right now, but this is the last time I show up to face these guys without a weapon. The time for peace is over. They fired the first shot. It is time to end this by any means necessary.
You should run them over. You should run them over with your car, and you should do it quickly before they can shoot you.
Donald Trump, if you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to have to get involved. And we don't want that to happen, because then the serious things are going to happen. And things are going to start escalating to the point where you're going to basically get murked off the face of the earth.
Do you know how all of these holes were created? By me. I put all the holes in this. And you might be saying, but I thought you were a leftist. If you go far enough left, you start kicking ass and taking names on the right. And I'm not saying this has anything to do with anything, but ICE.
Good afternoon. Donald Trump. Today I was at the range, and it'll do your heart good to know there was a lot of women there. I was there, not with my, but with the little one that I carry with me all the time. And I'm going to show you up here a little picture of what I was aiming at today. You motherfucking MAGA, you might think that we're out here just sitting around wondering what's going to happen.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but the way life has been going lately, I think it might be time to put down the fucking crystals and pick up the fucking Glock.
ICE is a demon. Yeah. They are not human beings.
Everybody's like, oh, well, they're trying to incite violence. Maybe we need to incite it too. Because being passive isn't working, baby. Clearly it's not. We're losing people left and right, babe. Maybe shoot them back.
Everybody needs to take a moment for themselves to take inventory and decide where they stand on this. And we aren't all necessarily the ones that need to go and confront them, but the ones that are need to go and do so.
I don't give a damn if they burn down Target, because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve.
We the people need to start taking back this country, and immediately, because they have corrupt, fake-ass people in these placements like ICE that are allowed to be masked, covered, not identify, do whatever the f*** they want, and murder people. Without knowing who they're killing, just killing civilians. And Trump's okay with this, and is allowing this to happen, and it's now happening all over in the Midwest.
Out of Minnesota now! Trump, you can go bye-bye too now! I've had it! I do not want to live in this country like this!
I think we're going to start seeing high numbers of self-inflicted harm to the political party. One by one, they're going to start dropping.
So for those who are on the media talking about, don't burn it down, don't set it on fire, let me tell you this, we need justice and we need it now.
This is for Christy Nome. I hope somebody puts one in the center of your forehead. And I'm not talking about a zit, bitch.
I don't really care about the consequences anymore. I don't care. We need to kill these people. They're Nazis. And the only way to stop this, let's be honest, is going to be to get violent. We got to get violent, people. And I'm tired of denying it. And I'm tired of y'all being pussies about it. Grow up. We're not going to get through this holding hands. Peaceful protest only works if your enemy has a moral obligation to listen to it. They have none. You guys are sitting there holding up signs and saying, oh, I'm mad at you. You're pathetic. Burn something.
The FBI describes domestic terrorism as violent criminal acts committed by individuals or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature, which just so happens to be the very definition of the radical left.
If I continually see you following us, interfering with us, honking your horn, blocking our cars, you have a very high probability of making a really bad decision and being arrested today, okay?
I think I'm making exactly the right decision.
Oh, then why are you giving her a warning?
I'm giving her a warning to not interfere with what we're doing, to not make a bad decision today and ruin your life.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all righty.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I hope you have a terrible day.
Okay, thank you.
Federal agents, ICE, HSI, are officers. They are agents of law enforcement. If you box them in with vehicles, it is reasonable for them to believe that they are being ambushed and that this could end in a deadly situation. And it's reasonable for them to use force based on those conditions. Do not box in any law enforcement officer. You are breaking the law when you do that.
Any questions? John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Okay, now I'm going to make a connection here. I'll let you get in here in a second. I'm making a connection here, okay? Pull up for me number 9. I'm going to make a connection. I don't know if you guys are noticing this or not. It's women. It's women, folks. It's women. Why progressive women are lonelier, unhappier than the conservatives? This is an opinion piece. Folks, leftist women, I don't want to say they're demonic, but they become demonic. Slide down as this article. It just gives you, turns out the data behind it. One of the weirdest reactions I saw of President Trump was young liberal women in hysterics. Some even vowed to shave their heads and swear off having sex with men. Do you get what's going on? Do you understand this is the fruit of the women's liberation? Now, I'm going to throw another one in here that's going to, some of you maybe aren't going to understand. Do you have any idea? See if you don't have a number. Pull up number 10. Do you understand the data on abortion? Do you understand the spiritual consequences of having aborted your child? And how many of these women that we're seeing out there in the streets acting like wild and crazy women have killed their babies? And trying their whole lives to justify it. It was okay to do it. They know it wasn't. Their conscience tells them it wasn't. So they turn to women's liberation, right? Come on. Well, I'm about done. And here's what you end up with, right? Here's what you end up with. Number 11. These are all good stuff. I'm not going to read all this stuff to you. Here's what you end up with.
Holy you guys! I'm driving your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died! Could this year get any worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021. Holy
Huh, folks? Is that unbelievable? Okay, I'm gonna pipe it down here a minute. I'm making the proposition today that the destruction. I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know about you guys. The sanctity of marriage and the raising of a family is the most glorious, fulfilling thing that any woman could ever do. And I look at our daughters, I'm not bragging. I look at our daughters' friends, and they love being mothers.
Praise God.
And somewhere along the line, we have made it a punishment to be pregnant. And as a result, women are missing the most fulfilling part of their whole life, the raising of children, of a family. God's plan for the family is gone. Came in with the pill, right? Feels good, do it, tune in, turn on, drop out. We are reaping the whirlwind of the 60s. It's right in front of us. I remember in the 60s, my dad was working at Kaiser Aluminum. In 64, my sister went to college. In 67, my brother went to college. And he went, oh my God, he went hippie. You know, and how did my dad, how could he possibly have been prepared to deal with something like that? Tune in, turn on, drop out, a whole generation. And then that whole generation raised children without any discipline. Raise them to kill their children. If it feels good, do it. Turn on to... I'm making a connection. 1980, Stone vs. Graham, the destruction of the Ten Commandments on the walls of our schools. I'm okay. You're okay. Tune in. Turn on. Drop out. We're reaping the whirlwind of that. Okay, Dale, come on in.
Well, Coach, I mean, if we cannot see this, this is the first thing I saw with this lady who got shot because she tried to run over an ICE agent. Let's just go back. Her first husband said she was a good mom. She had two children. She was a Christian mom. Coach, everything, it is the scenario of a Jezebel. It's the scenario of what Eve did. She got out from the order. Right. Yep. She got out from the order. She bit into that that tasteful forbidden fruit, which is do it thou wilt. And she stepped out and look what happened. She went from being a good mother to hooking up with a lesbian who got her children taken away for burning cigarettes on her children. And so listen, it's not a male chauvinist thing. Let me tell you what. Just take it from her first husband. She was a good mom. She was a Christian mom. And she was at home. If she was still in that under the headship, and of course, probably the husband wasn't either under the headship of Christ, this is the actual depiction of what that looks like. The end thereof is death.
Amen. Amen. Craig put an interesting thing in there. The legalization of pornography. Maybe pornography. I don't know. Can pornography turn you into a lesbian? I don't know. Hey, folks, come on, man. Pornography is that is so, so wicked. And so here we are fighting all we can to try to save our culture and our society when we all know that the family is the foundation of American life. And women, oh my goodness, where do I have stats? Okay, hang on. Pull up number 10. There it is, folks. What the data says, that the murdering of our children unleashed a spirit, man. Center survey conducted nearly a year after the Supreme Court's June 22nd. By the way, the Supreme Court said there's no right to an abortion, and the church still didn't do anything about it. Still, the Supreme Court said there's no right to kill a baby, and it went to the states, and the churches still didn't get involved with it, right? Conducted nearly a year after the Supreme Court's decision ended the constitutional right to abortion. There is no constitutional right to an abortion. 62% of U.S. adults said the practice should be legal in all or most states. 62% of Americans think it should be okay to murder your baby. 36% said it should be illegal in all or most cases. That's where we are. No common set of values. That's what we're dealing with. Come on in, somebody. Save me here.
Coach, I like what David Arthur said. I agree 100%. When we're battling against evil, Coach, we are battling that enemy that is within them. It's the spirit that's in them. You know, Jesus, when he came to people that were demon possessed, he didn't hit them in the face and knock them to the ground and chain them up and take them to jail. He delivered the spirit out of them and freed them. Then they saw him and they ran to him and grabbed him and embraced him. And that is what we have to do in the kingdom of God. We, Coach, I'm all for law, and I think we got to have it. It's for the ones who won't keep it. But for us who keep it, I don't really need it. I live in the law of God every single day, and we have to see who we're fighting. We have to identify our enemy in this thing.
Amen. Well, we know who the enemy is, right? It's Lucifer. Lucifer is the enemy, but we don't have it. We don't have it, folks. Come on. Our team, whatever you would call our team won't do anything to push back against this Luciferian judgments and decisions that come from the courts. We don't do anything to push back. The Supreme Court said there's no right to an abortion, and the states can't even end abortion. Why is that? Why won't the church get in? If all these liberal women can go to Minneapolis and cause a riot, what could the churches do if they went to the streets? Oh, we're not going to do that. Well, that's why we lose. Come on in, Gene.
I just want to say, I forgot which forefather said this, but he said our Constitution is for moral-minded people.
Moral and religious people, totally inadequate for the government of any other. Yep, that's right. But we have no morality, do we, Gino? There's no common sense of right and wrong anymore. Timothy Leary, if it feels good, do it. Tune in, turn on, drop out. It was the mantra of the entire 60, 70 generation. That's most of us, right? That's what we grew up with. Feels good, do it. The sexual revolution, yes. And we're reaping the whirlwind of this, right? That's exactly what's going on with it. So we have, you know, we got to make a decision. Are we gonna slowly get flushed down the toilet of history? Or is there going to be a revival? Is the church going to stand up and push back? Why does not the average American church give a shit, about abortion? Why don't they care? Johnny.
Because most of the people who run the church is under the thumb of the government, and they don't want to lose their bonus. They sold their soul to the devil.
That's right. Fear, right? Fear. Fear has torment. They're afraid. Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 5. Pull that up for me if you would. Matthew chapter 5. Hang on, Spencer. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he said, his disciples came unto him, he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted. What? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. How many people do you know in your church that are being persecuted for righteousness' sake? Is your pastor being persecuted for righteousness' sake? No. We've turned blessing into getting a nice house and a nice car and health, all that, right? We've turned blessing of God, into everything except what it's supposed to be. Huh? Yeah. And how about this one, friends? Same words from Jesus. Blessed are you, hey, Paul Gosselin, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, because they did it to the boys that came before you, Paul. And you're just part of this team who are laying down their lives for the cause of Christ. You're the salt of the earth. You are. I'm the salt of the earth. But if we lose our savor, we're good for nothing. Not going to be salty again. It's good for nothing except to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. They put it on a candlestick so everybody can see it. They don't hide it. Scroll down, Spence. Folks, this is the gospel. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, and it's going to glorify the Father which is in heaven. By the way, they may hate you. You may be hated of all men when you stand up and speak the truth. So don't think I came to destroy the law of the prophets. No, 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 boys and girls. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. For I say unto you, till heaven and earth passes away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. And whosoever shall speak one of these commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of God. But whosoever shall do and teach them, same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said out of them, don't judge, don't kill. Whoever kills shall be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, you're angry with your brother. Stop it, dude. Folks, Christianity, we've lost the salt. Because why? We don't want to pay the consequences of what it costs us to stand up and speak up. If God's people don't stand up and speak up, who will? How can we continue to vote in unrighteous men and expect them to do righteous things? Who did I just see? Some 86-year-old congressman resigning. Did anybody see who that was? 86 years old! Still in Congress. See if you can find that, Spencer. Congressman resigning. Going to be more of them, folks. You know why they're resigning? Because the truth's coming out about all the graft and all the money that they've taken and all the wicked stuff they've done. Another high-ranking Democrat, Steny Hoyer, 86! Freaking 86-year-old man! Still in there. All right, come on. Somebody rescue me. Come on in. Come on in here.
Well, Coach, I'm going to go back to this and just reaffirming something that we have just kicked to the curb and if the foundations be destroyed, then what will the righteous do? Well, what are the foundations? Well, the foundations, according to God's word and God's plan, was the family, right? It was the first order to bless man to have children and to what? In Psalms, right, 127, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. But the key to the verse, it says in verse 1 is on Psalms 127, unless the Lord build the house, they that laboreth in vain. Let me tell you what, just having children doesn't make you godly. It just means that you're having arrows. The problem is just look out there and see what you're seeing. If you want to see what the enemy's arrows looks like, that's what the enemy's arrows look like, because the house was not built on the foundations of Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Dale, what happened to those women that they got so damn angry?
Well, Coach, I've had this conversation with my wife, with my elders in the church, and I said, when I look at these people and I see this, I want to tell you something. Are they pierced from top to toe and tattooed? I said, they weren't born this way. They were not born this way. They were born little babies, and they had little sweet cries, and they yearned for their mother. Something happened between that birth and their adolescent years, Coach, that developed their brains and their wiring mechanisms in them to where they were rejected by their parents, they were rejected by their mom, they were rejected and abandoned by their dad. Guess what? If you want to see what no hope looks like, that's what that looks like.
So, Dale, this girl in Minnesota that they shot, evidently, she was married at one point. She has three children. She was a Christian at one point. In fact, still claims to be a Christian, although she turned to lesbianism, whatever the heck that means. Folks, that's spiritual, man. That is the spirit. And until we begin to recognize that the spirit, that the spiritual realm, spiritual influence is real,
Well, Coach, if you go back, how many years ago was George Floyd? Maybe about the same time she was still living with her husband in her home. It wasn't that long ago. The second you get out and you take and you bite of the fruit of that forbidden of knowledge of good and evil, and you're choosing evil over it, her life progressing is that. It shows what the wages of your sin looks Amen. Like, and it produces death.
Dale, can you think of anything more perverted? I'm sorry, friends. I'm sorry. Can you think of anything more perverted than a man getting in bed and having sex with another man? Can you think of anything more perverted than that? Would anybody ever consider that normal? Yet we've normalized it. We've normalized it. You're not allowed to criticize them. They're what they'd like to say that they're 13% of the population. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. But we've approved it. We don't even speak out against it. We hire them in our schools. It's clearly a mental, spiritual disorder. Wes puts in about bestiality, right? Oh, was that grosses people out? Bestiality? But not just man-on-man sex? That doesn't gross you out? You're okay with a man and a man having sex, but not with a dog. No. That's crossing the line. Shows how sick we are. Mark Trump. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, Coach, let me give you a visual and a testimony. We talk about the arrows a lot. They're important to God, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Arrows. Yeah, but we don't talk about the bow much. Arrows don't go far without a bow. Now, let me give you something sobering. How would you like to watch on TV and see your arrows on their side? What about seeing your arrows in their quiver?
Wow. Oh, man. Mark.
What happened to the bow? All right. What happened to the bow? Those little babies are arrows of ours. We're the bow, Coach.
Oh, man.
And if we don't point them where Jesus wants, and if we don't, what do you protect? You protect your weapons. You protect your guns. Otherwise, the enemy comes and takes them. The arrows are God's ammunition. And we're not protecting God's ammunition. And we're letting our arrows show up on TV. You know, the most sobering thing ever happened to me, Coach, is I saw a picture on Facebook of my son holding a sign that said abortion is health care.
Wow.
And he's holding a baby and a sign. A baby that his wife didn't abort. That's not even his, Coach. They were still married. Okay, so my son's sitting there in that deception he's living in, holding a sign saying abortion is health care. There's my arrow, Coach.
Wow. Yep.
We let it happen. It's on our watch. Amen.
Mark, we let it happen because we were programmed to let it happen. We were programmed to put them in the atheistic government schools, right? That amoral education would be good and healthy, right? And we paid for it. We paid for these atheistic schools and put our children in there. And then all of a sudden, they get to be 17, 18 years old, and you say, what the hell happened? What happened?
Yeah.
Or 20 years old after 2 years of college. What the hell happened? Well, train up a child the way he should go. When he gets old, he will depart
from it. Right.
Amen. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They've blackmailed us, huh?
Craig, forgive me, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Craig.
Well, maybe you just read what I wrote in the chat, you know, Brother Allen. Cypher always told us about that. Then I want you to go back and pull up the first commandment.
Zeus in the Capitol refers to depictions of George Washington as Zeus, the king of the gods, in the U.S. Capitol art, most notably in Horatio Greenough's controversial statue in Constantino Bumidi's fresco, The Apotheosis of Washington, blending classical mythology with American ideals to portray Washington as a divine figure guiding the nation. The monumental apotheosis painting in the rotunda ceiling shows Washington ascending to heaven, surrounded by goddesses representing the colonies, while Greenough's statue depicted him semi-nude in a Zeus-like pose, a concept later moved. Dude, yeah, Alan Cypress told us about what's in the freaking Capitol, that's for sure. What's your point, Craig?
Just go to the first commandment.
Yeah, no other gods before me, huh?
Well, I pretty much kind of seems like we're in a violation there.
Doesn't it?
And what are we getting ready to put in Washington, D.C. now? I'll put it in the chat. An arch.
Mark, I thought there was a separation between the church and state.
Well, there's no separation between fallen gods and the government. There's no separation with that because they're inside the government. This is a battle for Christ as God in the human flesh who received and saved mankind. That's what we're fighting. When you talk about
Craig, it, spiritual battle, Minnesota's electing Muslims to Congress. Muslims, not believers in Christ, putting them in positions of authority. People in Minnesota are electing Muslims. Why? We're tolerant, diverse. Who are we to judge? Go in, Jack. Then Randy.
Look at the extreme irony of that woman being shot and the target of the ICE agents that morning apparently was a child rapist. She was protecting a child rapist. How sick. And this incrementalism, we talk about it all the time. Some of us are old enough to go back and be able to connect the dots. Back in 2012, what Wes said, back in 2012, the National Defense Authorization Act, they took away the restriction of the illegality of bestiality in the United Uniform Code of Military Justice. And nobody said a word. A few of us crazy people made a stink, but it didn't catch on. Nobody pays attention. Look at how incrementally, who would even want to erase that restriction? Who would want to do that?
Unbelievable.
And how did we get to a point where anybody would even introduce that into the National Defense Authorization Act?
Wow.
Look, we got to put some good people in there. Anyway.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It's right in front of us, Jack. Right in front of us. Amen. Thanks, Jack. Randy, just a couple minutes here, Randy.
I'll be quick, Coach. When the Philistines stole the ark from God's people, Coach, they took the God. They took the presence of God. When they stole it, they went back to Ashdod. They set it up. They set the ark next to Dagon. And the next day, Coach, Dagon was on the floor. Okay, they set Dagon back up there next to the ark, the presence of God, Coach. And the next morning they went in. Now the head had fell off. The head was broke. The hands were broke. And it says that the Philistines never walked on that threshold again after that happened. What is that saying, Coach? It's telling you that when you close the gates of hell and you place Christ Jesus there as king, that nothing can supersede that spot. It is God's ground. And Coach, I can give you a lot more examples of this, but when we close the gates, Coach, we have to see the value in that. We have to see that we're changing the course.
We got to follow up, though, Randy. We got to follow up, brother. Huh?
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Change the course. Now we have to.
Now we need righteous people to step in and fill that spot, Coach. Amen.
So Randy, would it be true to say that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to show up?
That's our only hope.
I wonder how many real, real Christians are in government. What would you guys guess? Huh? Are there 50 real Christians? I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know if there's any. Well, there's got to be one or two. There's got to be some in there. But we have a Bible says we have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such men turn away. Huh? What kind of Christian man could approve of any of this stuff? How does this happen? Well, they lied to us and told us there's a separation, church and state, and you don't mix politics with religion and keep your morality to yourself. And who are you to judge? And look what we have. The mantra of the left. Trent, quickly!
And the true Christians really never believed that and still mainly did not stand up. There was one or few Elijahs there, but not many.
Not many, brother. They got rid of them as quickly as they could. Greed, man. When you start getting a hold of that greed wagon, all that stuff pouring in, that's what we're going to find out, folks. All this money, all this NGO money went back to the elected officials. That's what's going on. Oh, Lord, help us to see it. Help that would be revealed. See you tomorrow.